We'll start in just 1 second. Wishing all a meaningful fast, a tzom kal, if you're having a difficult time already, that you should be able to get through the fast. It is a difficult day for all of us and for all of Klal Yisrael. We're basically sitting Shiva. We're basically sitting Shiva as a rabbi who served in a kahila for some 20 some odd years. So it was always the easiest way to explain to someone exactly what the laws of Shiva are. If it was the first time that a first person was facing a loss, first time the person was sitting Shiva, the laws of Shiva are so many. And I would make it a practice when I came back from the Beis Olam to come to the home, to sit with the family for a few moments to make sure they had their Sudas Havra, and then to start explaining the laws of Shiva, what it is to sit Shiva. And I would explain by saying, basically, you know, it's what we all do on Tisha B'Av. As a community, communally, we sit Shiva on Tisha B'Av. Except that on Tisha B'Av, everyone is sitting Shiva. And I say to the mourner, as you enter this next week, so you'll be sitting Shiva, you'll be sitting on the low chair, and everyone else, they will be sitting across from you. Not every one of the laws of Shiva are exactly the same. And in fact, the idea of sitting on a low chair, something that we did this morning, but we aren't doing anymore, some of those laws seem to be of a different nature. Sitting on a low chair is in many ways a law of accepting Tanchumen. It's not necessarily something a person needs to do when they're sitting in their own home. It's a reflection of the fact that a person is accepting a visit. People sit on regular chairs. They meet with someone who's sitting on a low chair. It's a little strange that this morning we were all sitting on low chairs. We were all sitting in the Shiva position, and nobody was exactly comforting us. We weren't in a position where we were accepting Tanchumen. No one was coming to us and saying it was going to be okay. We were just sitting in that low position. How do we understand the global Shiva that we sat this morning? And what's going on this afternoon? This afternoon, we've left that position. This afternoon, the Beis HaMikdash is not built. This afternoon, we're sitting in regular seats. This afternoon, we will put back on our tefillin. What exactly is going on? There's a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Yevamos. You're not allowed to learn regular topics of Torah today, but there's a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Yevamos that discusses the ability to get engaged after losing a spouse. How long exactly does someone need to wait? Seches Yevamos deals with a loss. How long does a person need to wait between one marriage and the next? Generally, we say that there needs to be a three-month period. If a woman is going to get remarried, there needs to be a three-month period between one marriage and the next. That has nothing to do with the laws of avelus. That has to do with the laws of paternity. We want to be able to be sure who the father is for the baby if the woman is able to get pregnant immediately upon marrying again. So we say there's generally a three-month period. The first opinion in the Mishnah says that that three-month period goes regardless of what kind of relationship the couple had, even if the couple was just betrothed. And even if the couple is just going to get betrothed on the other end, there's not going to be any marital relations. There's no possibility of having a child. But the last opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says that we don't have to worry about betrothal. Betrothal is mutter. You want to go through the stage of Kedushin without going through with Nisuin? Kedushin is going to be okay. Except for an almana. Because an almana is also an avelus. An almana is also an avelus. If it was a divorce, so the woman can't have marital relations again for 3 months because we want to know, we want to be able to be sure who the father is. But if it is a case of betrothal, it should be mutter, except for an almana, because with an almana, she's also an avelus. And you're not allowed to get betrothed during Shloshim. Not allowed to be betrothed during Shloshim. The Gemara points out that one is allowed to get engaged, one is allowed to get betrothed during Shavua Shechalba. That it doesn't seem to be consistent. We have avelus for other things besides from losing a spouse, other things from besides from losing a family member. We have avelus, we know, at this time of the year. We are in a similar kind of time in Shavua Shechalbo, leading up to Tisha B'Av. We have a similar status to the same as this woman who is in Shloshim for her husband. And there, the Gemara tells us that you're allowed to be betrothed. Why are you allowed to be betrothed during the Shavua Shechalbo? But you're not allowed to be betrothed during Shloshim after she lost her husband. And the Gemara concludes, El Amar Rav Ashi, Shaini Avelus Chadosha Me'Avelus Yishana. There's a difference between a fresh mourning and an old mourning, between a new mourning and an old mourning. V'shayni avelos derabim me'avelos deyachid. And there's a difference between the communal mourning of Tisha B'Av and the fresh mourning of losing a loved one. Two phrases, avelos chadosha and avelos yeshana. Avelos derabim and avelos deyachid. The Gemara says, yes, in fact, the laws of avelus are stricter when one loses a relative than when one loses a Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to be betrothed during Shloshim because the pain of losing a loved one now is different than the pain of losing the Beis HaMikdash. The pain of actually being in avelus can't be compared to the pain of losing the Mikdash. It's not what most of the speeches are about on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, we speak of the tremendous pain of losing the Mikdash. We speak of recreating. We speak of the fact that time disappears and we should see ourselves. We should feel as if we're there. Shavas, the first of the keynotes that we said today. Shavas, everything stops. We sit on the floor to try to make it as real as possible. And yet, at the same time, says the Gemara, there's still a difference. There's still a difference between this almana who lost her husband, some 20 days ago, and she is still in Shloshim, and the pain that the nation feels because it lost the Beis HaMikdash some 1950 years ago. Let's try to understand this concept of avelus de yachid and avelus de rabim, avelus chadosha and avelus yishon. Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out that avelus is supposed to be a natural response to pain. When a person dies And we go through the various stages of aninos, the first stage, where a person is pater from mitzvos, where a person focuses completely on the mace, to shiva, to shloshim, and eventually for a parent to yud beis chodesh. That response is fueled by a natural, normal feeling of loss. The halacha doesn't present the impetus to mourn. The mourning itself, the feeling that something terrible has happened, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put within us. It's a natural feeling. That feeling is not generated by the laws of Avelus. It is directed and tempered by the laws of Avelus. That doesn't mean that that feeling of tremendous loss wasn't placed in us by the Ribono Shel Olam. And perhaps we can even go further to say that that loss was placed in us, that feeling of loss was placed in us to allow the laws of Avelos to make sense. Let me explain what I mean. We have a concept, we're told, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mistakel be'oraisa ubara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah and then he created the world. Let me ask you a question. Tefillin, with all of its, right, the wraps and all the stuff like that, right? There's two sets of tefillin. There's a tefillin shel yad, there's a tefillin shel rosh. Does a tefillin have straps because it's supposed to fit around their arm? Pashtus, why else would it have a wrap? Or do we have arms because a tefillin is going to have ritzuos? Histakel be'oraisa ubara alma means that on some level, it's so difficult for us to understand what this means. Our bodies were created so that the laws of the Torah should be able to take effect, should be able to make sense. The reason it's not that tefillin have straps so that it could go around their arm. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Why are we created like this? Why do we have two arms? Why do we have a head? Why are we built in such a way? Histako Boraisa, he looked at the laws of the Torah and then he created a being that it would make sense to go through the laws of the Torah. The same thing can be said as far as our psyche. Could it be that the reason why we feel this intense feeling of mourning is so that the laws of mourning would one day make sense, they would fit? It's not simply that the laws are there to temper our loss, to deal with our loss. Our loss is natural. What does natural mean? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us in such a way? And yet, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us with this feeling of loss, this feeling of pain, this feeling of being totally overwhelmed, so the laws of Avelos serve not to generate, not b'shas maisa. Maybe it was the fact that there was going to be something called Hilchos Avelos. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us feel this way. But b'shas maisa, it's not that the laws of Avelos generate these feelings. It's that they allow these feelings, they take hold of those feelings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us. That's called typical Avelos. We are supposed to, explained Rabbi Soloveitchik, we are supposed to feel desperate. We are supposed to feel that all is lost. We are supposed to feel those things. We are not supposed to be robots. We are not supposed to say, oh, well, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything he does for the best. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. If that were the case, there wouldn't be Hilchos Avelos. Hilchos Avelos is there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us human. He wanted us to feel these feelings. He wanted them to therefore flow into the laws of Avelos. Normal Avelos from the time of Aninos till Shiva, through Shloshim, through Yud Beis Chodesh, is a way of dealing with this overwhelming feeling that he placed within us. What do these stages represent? How do they function? The time of Aninos, for anyone who's been through this, for anyone who has seen it with a family member, the time of Aninos is marked more than anything by the fact that there is a patur from mitzvos. It's a very, very, very strange time to be in. The time of Aninos is a time when, even though I'd like to do mitzvos asay, I'd like to do things like say brachos and daven, it's so strange for me, I'm told not to do it. Aninos, more than anything else, is marked by the fact that everything stops. Everything comes to a halt. There is nothing else. I'm not allowed to commit averus. I don't sully my soul and my body. But I stop. I stop. Everything comes to an end. I don't need to, as many Mefarshim explain, as many of the Rishonim explain, I don't need to deal with God's issues right now. I deal with my connection to the mace. My only concern during the period of Aninos, which lasts until the end of the funeral, my only concern in Aninos is simply dealing completely with the mace. There is no wider world. There is no wider set of commandments. Not only do I not have my other commandments, the Klal Yisrael, I don't even have my connection to the Ribon Shalom in a certain sense. I'm focused completely on the death of this person. What happens at Shiva? Shiva is a fascinating, fascinating time. Shiva is a time where I am completely steeped in the Avelus. There are so many halachos. There are so many things. I can't possibly get away from the fact that I lost this person. And yet I am asked to once again, or the community is asked to once again, begin to rebuild those ties with me. It's perhaps because I'm going to now face the community, because I'm now going to have interactions with others, because I'm once again going to be chayev in mitzvos, that I am given so many layers of things so that I can feel that I haven't left my avelos. I shouldn't have to leave my state of avelos even as I begin to creep out of it and begin to face the world. That's the experience of Shiva. I can't move without asking the rabbi what to do, or asking Rabbi Lam, Zichrono Livracha, in his famous Sefer, what is my next move? I am completely focused on the Avelos, but not like I was in Aninos. I take a step away. I begin to see people. People begin to come to my home. It's my first exposure to the outside world, but within the bubble of my home, of the Shiva home. What happens next? What is Shloshim? Shloshim, I'm asked to take that feeling and to move even further out to reconnect to the world. I take my Avelos with me in a way that's enough to remind me that I'm an Avel. In fact, it's even enough to remind others that I'm an Avel. But I'm basically beginning to reintegrate into life. I don't shave, I don't take a haircut, I don't wear clean clothes, I feel shvach. I look shvach. That's just enough to allow me to head back to work, to head back to shul, to head back to my friends. It's almost a halfway house. I'm no longer inside, fully engrossed as I was when I was sitting shiva. I've taken my act on the road, so to speak, but I've taken just enough of it with me that I don't lose the Avelus, even as I interact with other people and even as I meet with others. And then there's Yud Beis Chodesh. What is Yud Beis Chodesh? What is this special period that I offer for a parent? Yud Beis Chodesh is marked by very few restrictions. They seem serious to us because we can't go to weddings, we don't listen to live music. What exactly is Yud Beis Chodesh? Yud Beis Chodesh is a time where we've pretty much fully integrated back into life, but we don't want to do things that fully push away the Avelus. the listening to music, the attending a simcha, something that will just take me to a place where I'll forget what happened. Actively take me, for no reason take me. I do need to become part of the community again. I do need to go back to work. I'm not actually holding the velus on me. I look the same, but I'm not going to jump into a space that's going to push every last remnant of that velus behind me. That is the general process of aninos, teshiva, teshloshim, to Yud Beis Chodesh. And again, as Rabbi Soloveitchik explains, it takes that natural feeling that I have inside of real pain that I'm supposed to feel, that I'm not supposed to push away and say, oh, it's all okay, it's all Mahabad. That's not the way. We're supposed to be all the way down there. We're supposed to be starting in Aninos, where the entire world stops. A close relative dies, the entire world stops. And eventually move my way comfortably. And anyone who has had the very unfortunate reality of losing a family member, but the great schus to be able to go through these stages in mourning, can speak to how powerful and effective they are of taking that natural feeling of loss, that avelus the yachid, the avelus chadosha, and eventually allowing the person to reintegrate. But it's not true by Avelus Yeshana, and it's not true by Avelus Derabim, because there is no natural feeling of loss. There is no natural feeling of pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ask us to pretend that there's pain when there's no pain. The laws of Avelus, as they are reflected in an individual Avelus, and as they are reflected in communal Avelus, the laws of Avelus are supposed to be real. They're supposed to say something real about what's feeling inside and how that thing is being directed. But we don't feel that. And Chazal understood that we don't feel that. And Chazal understood that Avelus Yeshana and Avelus Derabim is different than the Avelus of a Yachid. And the halachos are different, and the process is effectively reversed. When it comes to avelos of the Beis Hamikdash, we don't start with searing pain. When it comes to avelos for the Beis Hamikdash, we try not to move back into society, back into regular life, but away from regular life, away from our day-to-day dealings. Chazal understood that we don't walk around feeling the searing pain for the Beis Hamikdash. We don't need any help getting back to life. We need help getting to the pain of the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, when it comes to Avelus the Rabbin, when it comes to Avelus Yeshana, when we're trying to mourn over something that's thousands of years old, we work backwards. We start with a period that is very similar to Yud Beis Chodesh, where we don't have weddings and we don't listen to live music. We begin with a period where we're still functioning in our lives, but we begin to have a sense that there's something that's not right. There's something that's not complete. We then enter into a period, whether it's the 9 days or whether it really was Shavuot Shechalbo and it extended to the 9 days, we extend into a period which is very close to Shloshim. It's not the same because we're not dealing with searing loss. And we treat the 9 days basically the same as we treat Shloshim. We go into that period of pain and we don't wash our clothing and we don't shave and we don't do all these things. And then finally on Tisha B'Av, we hit rock bottom and we actually go into Shiva, into a communal Shiva. And every one of us sits on the floor. The Avelos works backwards so that we can move our way in to that Shiva. And this afternoon, we should be in Aninos. This afternoon, we should be completely paralyzed We should have nothing. We should have a patur in mitzvos. We dafka shouldn't put on tefillin this afternoon because we're going backwards, aren't we? Why don't we ever make it to the point of aninus? And the reason is that although on some level when we lose someone, we have lost them forever. Yes, we know there's a time, there's the Yemos HaMashiach. There's something about the Avelus of the Rabbim that never gets to that point. And let me explain why. Ah, you'll tell me there's such a thing as Tchias HaMesim. You'll tell me that there's going to be Tchias HaMesim and we'll see the person again. And you know when that's going to happen? Around the same time as the Beis HaMikdash is also coming back. We shouldn't be so sad for the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is coming back. My relative is also coming back. But on some level that misunderstands, and listen closely as we finish the shiur, what we've been mourning over the last 3 weeks and 9 days and 20 hours or whatever it's been. Rabbi Soloveitchik quotes the Vilna Gaon to explain why we got up from our chairs at Chatzos. And he says, the reason why we got up at our chairs at Chatzos was because Chatzos, according to Chazal, was when the Beis HaMikdash was set on fire. Beis HaMikdash set on fire at Chatzos? That's when the Beis HaMikdash was set on fire? That's when we get up? That's when we get up from our chairs and we say, okay, we're done with kinos. What does that mean? Rabbi Soloveitchik explains, based on the famous words of Chazal, that when the Beis HaMikdash was lit on fire, it was clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger was going to be taken out, not on the Jewish people, but on the structure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there needed to be some response to all of these aveiros and all of this misguided behavior. And at noon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set fire, he had his shlichim set fire to the Beis HaMikdash, and suddenly the Beis HaMikdash was alight, but we knew that it was only going to be the Beis HaMikdash and not us. Wasn't that what we were mourning the whole 3 weeks? 3 weeks ago, I thought we were mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. I understand. We're very happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy us. He only destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But for the last 3 weeks, we have been in mourning, in a reverse mourning, because we're expecting the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And then when it finally happens, we get up, we start to ease. It tells us something very powerful. That for the last 3 weeks and 9 days and 20 hours, or the first 18 hours of Tisha B'Av, we actually thought, we actually prepared for, we were actually mourning for the end of Klal Yisrael. At the last moment, it turns out that that's not what we're mourning for. At the last minute, it turns out that the Beis HaMikdash was set on fire and we were suddenly reprieved. And therefore, the Avelos heads in the other direction because Klal Yisrael is going to survive. What that means is that for the last 3 weeks, as we prepared for this moment, we were prepared that Klal Yisrael perhaps wouldn't, chas v'shalom, survive. It's only at the last minute that our Avelos turns. We dodged it. It was a close one. We're still going to be in fasting this afternoon. We're still going to be keeping many of the laws of Avelos because after all, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But what we were preparing for 3 weeks didn't happen. What we were preparing for 3 weeks, the reverse mourning, the aninos that we should have been experiencing this afternoon was called off because all this time, what we were preparing for was to sit Shiva for ourselves and our people. And it didn't happen. Usually, a velus begins with the death of a person. And slowly over time, that avelus chadosha, the avelus the yachid, lessens as we realize that we're able to continue. The 3 weeks, the reverse mourning of the 3 weeks, was a preparation for the loss of Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom. And when the building is torched and Klal Yisrael continues, on some level, we call off this exercise. We don't go into the stage of aninus, because tzibur lo meis, because the people is not going to be destroyed. Because there's a difference between avelus de yachid and avelus de rabim. And there's a difference between avelus chadosha and avelus yishona. The difference is not simply the intensity. The difference is there's a difference between avelus de yachid of a single person who does in fact die and avelus de rabim of a tzibur that will never die, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us even at our darkest moment. And avelus yishona and avelus chadosha where we know what happened and avelus chadosha where we don't know what's going to be, and Avelus Yishana, where we've already learned the lesson that as terrible as things were, that HaKadosh Baruch was not going to allow Klal Yisrael to be destroyed. I'll end with this. I see Rav Goldberg Shlita is on. Remember where we started. We started with a Gemara in Yevamos that talked about whether or not a person could get engaged. Whether or not a person could get engaged. That's, of all things, the subject of the question of the difference between avelus of a person dying and the avelus of the 3 weeks, the avelus of Tisha B'Av. Can a person get engaged? Halacha l'maisa, betrothal is even mutter on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. I wouldn't recommend it. It's not so romantic. But it's even mutter on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. Because when a person loses a loved one, as Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, the entire world ends. Everything ends. Everything stops. How can I think about starting another generation when I've just experienced a loss like this? It's not a nihug of avelus per se. It's not that it's, oh, you could, but how could I can't think about tomorrow when this happened today. But it doesn't apply to avelus derabim. It doesn't apply to avelus yishana. Because at the core of avelus derabim and avelus yishana is the fact that Klal Yisrael goes on, even if we experience the chorban. The experience of avelus deyochid is an experience of everything stopping, of wondering how I can proceed now with this relationship to continue Klal, everything, my whole world came apart. But the experience of avelus derabim, of avelus yishana, is dafka the experience of coming so close to the end and realizing that Klal Yisrael is going to continue. And therefore, perhaps this halacha particularly, that betrothal is mutter, because the message of Tisha B'Av is not that everything stops. The message of Tisha B'Av every single year that we are here to commemorate it is that we go on. And as sad as we are today, and as sad as we are to come into a room of people, into a Zoom room of people who are mourning, the fact that we're still here, and the fact that we still remember, is ultimately the message of Tisha B'Av. Wish you a meaningful rest of the fast, and what more meaningful way could we have that than Rabbeinu Harav Goldwicht to take us to the next step. Rav Goldwicht.